everybody, welcome to Creepy Club. I'm Rissa.
I'm Heidi.
And this is the podcast where we talk everything creepy and crimey, except this week. And it's because we have a very sad announcement that we are no longer going to be doing Creepy Club after this episode.
Well, rather, there isn't really an episode so much.
Right.
There's no story.
That's true. But technically this is still an episode. Anyway, we just wanted to record a little short episode to explain why, hopefully to alleviate some grief that you might have. I don't know, that feels really cocky to say, but
that seems a little extra, but I think people know what you mean. I mean, I think the most important reason is just our, like, bottomless well of gratitude for the people who've been on this wacky ride with us.
And ultimately, you can just blame me, because it was sort of my deal. A lot of the reason is because this world is full of terrible things, and we tend to talk about a lot of dark topics on this show, and that was kind of becoming harder and harder to research, and even the fun, like, ghosty stuff became harder for me because I was becoming a little bit more skeptical. And I know that when I listen to podcasts about ghosts and somebody, you know, like, I can't remember the name of the podcast, but for example, there was a podcast I listened to where there was a believer and a skeptic, and, like, it would always kind of bum me out when the skeptic was like, yeah, but the ghosts aren't real, you know? And I didn't want to do that to you guys. And so I was, like, starting to bum myself out about it. And this is also just a weird time for everyone with the pandemic, and then I'm starting back to, like, 2 part-time jobs and going to school, so it became a lot harder for me to make the time to research and stuff like that. So if you're gonna blame anybody, blame me, and send me a email or something. I don't know.
I don't think deliveries of haterade are necessary.
No, I mean, I definitely want to hear from you guys still, but yeah, I'd appreciate if it wasn't angry.
Well,
yeah.
I don't know if I can make any promises about what weird things could turn up in any inbox, because I get some unusual email sometimes, not from anyone specifically, just some unusual email from various companies that I think, how did I get on your list exactly? Like, where did I go wrong in my internet searches yesterday? Because I'm pretty sure I don't need Viagra.
Right.
But.
So, yeah, I have faith in our listener base. We've never really gotten any sort of communication that was ill will.
We got one really bizarre letter.
Like, right when we were first starting, wasn't that like the...
It was pretty early on. Yeah. I don't really exactly remember what the content was, other than my general takeaway was kind of, I'm not sure this is a well person.
Yeah.
And I hope that they get whatever they need and that they don't feel compelled to send us email anymore. That was mostly what I thought about that.
They haven't in 2 years, so
that's, yeah, it's all good. And we never, you know, read it aloud or shared the person's name or anything like that. Like I said, I think they were maybe not doing some things that they were probably supposed to do, like taking some medicine or something, but
yeah,
I don't know. I mean, I would, you know, they weren't like, I know where you live and I'm coming right over. It was just kind of a nonsense email. It just didn't make a lot of sense.
Totally. So, I kind of like to list off some of my favorite episodes, and we can say a few words about them if you want. I know that episode one about Momo is important because it kind of established that your husband might be Momo.
Well, that's true and still undetermined. I don't think there's been any... I have not come to any official decision on that topic. Mm-hmm. I think that if we left him out in the woods long enough, it's possible.
Mm-hmm.
And if physically, you know, hairy-wise, his capacity to grow, to be a furry person is pretty low. Like, he can't grow a full beard, so that may lend some credibility to his argument that he is not Momo.
Well, you can always, you know, put hair on you in other ways.
I just think, you know, if you allow a human to go feral, who knows what kind of evolutionary cells might be activated. So maybe his hair growing abilities, kind of like you take a regular pig and you put it out in the woods and it becomes a feral hog in, like, I don't know, 15 minutes and starts growing tusks and acting crazy. Like, I don't know how long you have to leave a person out there where they start, like, devolving.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying, I'm not ruling it out.
All right. And moving on. Meeting number two. Limbs. That was a really fun one.
Yeah, well, the catalyst for that episode was a partial amputation of my husband's foot. That part wasn't so great. However, I did have... It was a really interesting research project for me. And while kind of gross... you know, I learned some things that maybe I could live without. I am grateful that the industry videos for the people who do the processing of things like body parts that have been removed have a very sterile approach to their videography. There's nothing... It could be an ice cream factory. Like, you don't see anything yucky in the video. You just see containers, you know.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I didn't have to make any therapy appointments or anything like that. It was just interesting because, so it just was an interesting research project for me in finding out what uncovering the process of how those things are handled. And also realizing how little the people at the front line know about the process. Like, when I asked the guy what happens, the anesthesiologist nurse, what happens once the body part is removed, he was like, well, then we put it in a trash can. And I said, you know, that's for specifically that type of thing. I said, okay, well, what happens next? And he said, well, then a truck picks it up. And I said, okay, then what? And he's like, I don't know. I thought, I don't think I just need to know what's going to happen next. Like, the idea of not inquiring further is kind of mind-boggling to me. But he seemed very comfortable with, like, not thinking about it further. But it was very interesting, and, you know, you can purchase an incinerator capable of, like, annihilating a human body on the internet, which is a little disturbing.
Absolutely. Not on the dark web either, on the light web.
Just on the regular old web. So it was interesting, disturbing. It was a really unexpected research topic that was very personal, and my husband also refused to play the pretend to be a Hasidic Jew so we can get a back game.
Yeah.
He was very uncooperative because there's like just a couple loopholes for getting it back. But I won't totally spoil it if you haven't listened and you're interested.
Mm-hmm. So the next one I have is the Dyatlov Pass incident, meeting number 9. That was fun. And meeting number 10, undisclosed experiments with that apartment complex that got sprayed. I still think about that a lot.
Yeah, well, because there's still people in our city who are impacted by that. The Dyatlov Pass incident made me think I never want to go skiing again.
Oh, yeah.
Nowhere that isn't part of a resort, for sure. And the undisclosed experiments was kind of a St. Louis history combo.
Yeah.
Because there are, and also, some storytelling around, like, actual, like, historical storytelling around some of the systemic racism that is part of the unattractive parts of St. Louis's history. And also kind of makes you really aware that maybe you shouldn't always trust what the government says. Because they're like, hey, we're just going to spray this stuff. It's cool. It's for, like, pest control, maybe. Mm-hmm. Probably not. But that's what we're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's, I think the takeaway there is that it's good to question authority. Mm-hmm. And if it smells like shit, it probably is. Those are my words of wisdom.
The next one I have is meeting number 18 with sea monsters. That's where I found out that I have thalassophobia, which is fear of open water. That's kind of fun.
Yeah, and I mean, I already knew because I spent all my summers at my dad's house in Florida, but the ocean is fucking terrifying.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, there are fish with flashlights on their head. So I feel like that if there are aliens, I think they actually live in the ocean.
I think I would do a podcast all about sea creatures, like every week. Just talk about another sea creature because it's like endlessly fascinating to me. And then next one, yeah,
there are so many of them, and they keep, like, the more technology advances and they're deeper, they're able to go into the ocean, the more things they discover and the fucking weirder it gets.
Yeah.
There's some weird shit down in that really deep water.
Mm-hmm. So the next one is...
They don't even really know.
Yeah, I know, right? The next one I have is meeting number 19 with Alice's monkey, which should have been Alice's chimpanzee, but you know what? We didn't change it. It's fine. We get it.
I'm not a zoologist, and thank you to Dawn and Andrew for sharing that amazing story with me so that I could tell it to all of you. I was over at their house a couple weeks ago doing some friendly, socially distanced visiting and sitting at the table where I could see the portrait of Alice and her chimp. And it's just as fucking creepy every time I see it. Mm-hmm. There is literally never a time when you look at that and you think that is not the creepiest fucking painting ever. And then on the other side of the room, they have a portrait that I think Andrew's mom had done of their family dog. Mm-hmm. That's just kind of quirky as well. So it's not creepy. It's just the art in that room is kind of unusual. And they also have this glass partition between their kitchen, and that it's like an addition sun porch kind of room, you know, like glassed in job.
Mm-hmm.
And on Halloween last year, I put up these Grim Reaper static cling things on that window, and they're still there. So when you look at that wall, you get Alice and her chimp, and then the Grim Reaper with a giant, that curved...
The scythe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I need to find a new chair to sit in when I visit, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The next one I have is meeting number 23, Creepy Moss, where we found out the disturbing origins of some of our favorite Christmas traditions.
Yes, and also reflected on what a totally bizarre experience it must be for immigrants to certain places around the world.
Yeah.
Like, welcome to our country. We have this totally freaky, terrifying holiday. Everyone's very excited.
Yeah, it takes over the country.
Right.
Meeting number 24, superstitions. That one was fun.
It is fun. People really believe some wacky stuff. I claim not to be a superstitious person, but I do definitely have a handful of superstitions that I observe that make absolutely no sense, and I'm not even going to try and lie about it.
And then meeting number 33, creepy sleepers.
Yep, there's plenty of those, myself included. My husband told me the other day, because I think we've mentioned many times on the show that I have some neurological disorders, but amongst them are a basket full of sleep disorders. And in my most recent visit for my annual checkup at the sleep doctor, he told me I also have something called sleep inertia, which is why I wake up like a drunk person. And my husband has been like reporting all these weird things I do and say when I wake up in the morning that I didn't realize he noticed. Like, I sometimes when I go reach for the alarm clock, I have tremors anyway, and so I obviously haven't taken my medication yet because, hello, I've been sleeping. It's kind of hard to do. But sometimes I'll have these weird, huge, like, full arm tremors where I'm, like, basically swatting my alarm clock because, like, my arm won't do what I tell it to do. And I didn't think he had ever noticed. And he's like, oh, you do that, like, almost every day. And I thought, you never thought to bring that up? And we have conversations all the time when I'm first waking up that he'll refer to later. I'm like, I have no idea what you're talking about. And my friend Al, who occasionally we take trips together, recently told me, I was telling her about my visit, and she said, oh my God, that made so much more sense. She's like, you're super weird in the morning. Like, oh my God, why? What? I mean, thank you all for your politeness, but I feel like I should probably report this when I go in for my visits. Maybe yeah. I need to bring them with me next time so I can get an accurate medical chart. Mm-hmm. Apparently, I'm just doing weird shit all the time, and everyone's so polite, they're not bothering to mention it.
Right. Well,
yeah.
I didn't think you were too weird when we took our trip, but...
The hub said it's not, like, no 2 days are the same, and some are definitely worse than others.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, it's a highly variable sort of thing, like, how long did I sleep? Where did I sleep? Did I get disrupted? You know, just right. All the same variables everyone else has. But the output looks different for me than other people. So if you're interested in neurology, you can look up sleep inertia for fun and learn about all the weird shit that people like me do.
So next one I have is the Times Beach episode, which is meeting number 37. That was alarming.
15, max 20 minutes from here.
Yeah.
Yeah, you just take some real toxic stuff and seal the road with it. That should work out okay.
Right. I like, that's now become one of my, like, you know, not that we're going to any parties, but you know, like the like story you tell, the horrible story you tell at a party to like horrify everyone. That's become that for me.
And I do know someone who was living in Times Beach when that happened and like got the settlement and had to move and all that stuff. And we're not, I would say, you know, barely in each other's acquaintance circle. We're Facebook friends. That's pretty much it. But I've known him since I was 15, probably something like that. Mm-hmm. He appears normal.
Oh, he doesn't have, like, an arm growing out of his head or anything?
Not that I can tell. Not, well, I mean, there's Photoshop, so it's possible he's just editing, but he appears normal. But if listen to that episode, you'll know why that's so surprising. Because I feel, I'm also always surprised when I drive past that area, because now part of it has been they had to wait so many years for it to be considered. Dioxin was the specific nasty that was a problem. Now it's a state park, but whenever I drive by, I always think, am I gonna see a two-headed deer? Like, I'm still not totally convinced that it's safe. Like, part of me still feels a little skeptical that we should be hanging out there.
Same
yeah.
But, like, I still want to go.
It's a really lovely park on the Merrimack River, and it's probably a somewhat underutilized state park because it's only been open for maybe 5 years or something like that. Mm-hmm. It's a super nice park, but I also definitely have that, like, I don't know, am I going to grow a lump after I visit?
Oh, God.
I just don't. I don't know if I want to camp there. That might be too much time.
Mm-hmm. So meeting number 66, Mary Bell, the youngest murderer. Was it the youngest murderer ever?
I don't know if she was the youngest murderer ever, but she was pretty young. I think in elementary school, the first time that she assaulted and killed someone. I'm just glad that my child's most violent act was, like, biting in preschool, you know?
Yeah.
Like, she tossed a couple toys at some other kids, but, you know, she's 26 now and doesn't seem to have any violent tendencies, so I think it worked out okay. But Mary Bell is, like, the ultimate cautionary tale. If you combine her with that movie... we need to talk about Kevin. As a parent, I think there were some signs. There's some signs, and if you see those signs, you should heed them.
Mm-hmm.
Early intervention is important with that degree of mental health problem.
Right. Next one I have is the 3-episode arc of the Winchester Mystery House, meetings number 73, 75, and 77. That was a rabbit hole that I did not know was so deep.
Yeah, and then we both did the virtual tour, except I did the wrong one.
Yeah. So
I did the boring version, whoops, and then made my mom do the boring version, but thankfully I was raised on PBS, so I've seen a lot of dry documentaries in my time, so my tolerance is fairly high. I mean, they have some amazing content too, but back in the day when I was growing up, the documentaries were not as enticing as they are today. So yeah. I think my tolerance is a little higher, and my mom can definitely, she can watch paint dry. So I think the 3rd in that series was the one where you talked about all the symbolism, and that mm-hmm. I thought was super interesting, and her ties to, what was it, the Masons and some other fraternal organizations.
Rosicrucians.
Yeah, that it was just unexpected. It was interesting.
Yeah. What was I going to say? I had a thought in my head, and it just flew right out. Oh, I still get... Because I Googled it so much, now Google gives me, like, you know, alerts. I just turned on my OK Google on my phone, which is funny. But it'll give me alerts on the Winchester Mystery House every so often. And it looks like they kind of have had, I mean, as most businesses, they've kind of had a roller coaster during this pandemic where they had to lay off a bunch of people and then they rehired them and kind of reopened for some, like, limited tours. I think they closed again, and yeah, it's been rough for them. I hope that hope they land on their feet, and I hope that you know, if you guys are interested, get online and see if you can do those virtual tours and throw them a little bit of cash, because what a cool fucking place that is.
It is really cool, and it's nice when we make an effort to preserve history like that in our country, especially since we're so new. You know, it's not like Europe where a building that's 300 years old is the norm, you know?
Yeah. So, and the next one I have is the 2-episode arc of Weirdos Getting Crimey, 82 and 84.
Man, I tell you what, that was a rabbit hole that I could have kept going down for a long time. I think I talked about it in the episode, but our sort of liberal, I hesitate to say news magazine because it's not always news-ish magazine. Publication is the Riverfront Times, and they used to have a section in there called News of the Weird that I, between that and the classifieds for people who are looking for love, those were my two favorite sections to read.
Totally.
I went for all the brainy stuff first. But then, like, when I read the New York Times, the first thing I read is international business. So I'm not totally shallow. I just like my weirdos.
And then I have meeting number 87, Utsy the Iceman. That was fun.
That was kind of a fun physical anthropology lesson.
Yeah.
In addition to being just generally creepy.
Yeah. And meeting number 88, creepy finds and forensics.
Yes. I think that the world of forensic science is my primary kind of umbrella for why I'm interested in true crime.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I obviously am not pro murder and terrible, you know, I don't like it when bad things happen to people. But what I do think is intriguing is probably a tie between the psychopathy of the people who are involved and then the forensics that are used to help solve those crimes or come to some kind of resolution. And also the social activist part of me is also interested in where there may be imbalances in the justice system that need some spotlighting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. But yeah, that was the last favorite episode that I had listed. So if you guys want, you can go check those out. And then we thought we would give you some recommendations for other podcasts that have similar subject matter. Do you want to talk about your three?
Yeah, I think the first one I had on there was The Dream. And The Dream, the first season is all about MLMs, which, if you're not familiar with the vernacular or the acronym, MLM is a multi-level marketing company. And while not officially creepy, it's definitely crimey. And there is no shortage of sociopaths running those kind of businesses. And I'm saying that in air quotes. And the perspective that the stories or the subject is talked about is from like an investigative journalism sort of slant, but it's also personal because the host has lots of family members who were involved and still involved in multi-level marketing. So it was just really, I think it's a really interesting series. And then season two is about some other multi-level marketing companies and then kind of some of the shams in the wellness industry, like the Tanglewood Center, for instance, that we talked about recently. Mm-hmm. They don't talk about that on that show, but just that there are so the wellness industry has become this huge boom. And thanks, Gwyneth Paltrow, for all your assistance in spreading all kinds of toxic misinformation about health.
Yeah.
And ridiculous expectations for people and how much money they should spend on everyday items, like a white t-shirt for $300 or something. But I think it's creepy in the fact that the potential for harm, like actual physical harm from some of the products that are being sold, is very real, and it is largely unregulated, and the people who run the organizations are just straight up crooks.
Mm-hmm.
And really prey on some of the most vulnerable populations who have the least amount of money to invest in some BS business that's going to fall apart.
Yeah, and if you're interested in that subject matter, Heidi did an episode about Landmark Forum that was an MLM. And
they're kind of like, they're a cult, an MLM, they're kind of a combo.
And I think you and I went real hard against MLMs during that episode. At least I remember getting heated about it. But
I have no love for the MLMs, and now I've got my kid fired up about it. She's been doing
Her posts on Facebook. I thought that was funny.
Yeah, she had never heard of LuLaRoe and found a video on YouTube and sent it to me and was like in a fit of rage.
Yeah. I found out that, uninteresting side note, I found out that LuLaRoe shirts look really good on me. I've found some secondhand, and I really like them. But I'm not going to purchase it from the suppliers. So don't even try.
If you're going to purchase it from a supplier, purchase it from someone who is trying to liquidate the ridiculous amount of
there
inventory.
You go. That's a great idea.
Yeah, do them a solid, because now they're drowning financially.
Yeah, if anybody listening is going through that, let me know. I'll buy some shirts from you because they look awesome. I like them. I also recommend The Dream.
And I don't have the document in front of me, so I can't, and I have shit memory, so I don't know what else I said.
You said Small Town Dicks and I'll Kill a No Filla.
Small Town Dicks, I cannot say how much I love this podcast. It's Zibby, and then she had a buddy who had an equally unusual name.
It's Yardley Smith, right?
Oh, Yardley and Zibby were the originals, and now it's just Yardley, and Yardley is the voice of Lisa Simpson, which is just kind of a fun fact. So she has this really unusual voice that's, like, not unusual in an annoying way. And
yeah, it's very pleasant.
Yeah, very pleasant. And her two co-hosts are Dan and Dave, who are small town detectives. And they talk about cases that they've covered in their careers, as well as inviting other people from small towns to talk about things. And the thing that I like about it is that they are also very pro responsible policing. So they're not, and I think that that's often the difference between detectives and a beat cop. You know, the mentality is different. The detectives are laser focused on getting justice for the victims, where, you know, a beat cop is looking to enforce local laws. You know, they just have a totally different professional objective. You know, like a lot of times detectives will use prostitutes as confidential informants. They don't give a shit that they're sex workers. They're not gonna lock them up. Those are their buddies, you know? So they have an interesting mix of people who are, you know, would be considered by some criminals who are actually helpers in the process of doing their investigations.
Mm-hmm. I find it really fascinating to learn about how the process works as well, like how they go about doing an investigation and stuff like that.
And I think it's also interesting that when you're in a small town and not in a big metro area like we are, how limited their resources can be, and they have to really kind of think outside the box to get stuff done and call in assistance from other neighboring villages and towns, and they have to work much more collaboratively with the people that are around them, where in a big metro area you just already have those resources. So sometimes they talk about having to wait, like, you know, hours to get a SWAT team pulled mm-hmm. together, or, you know, where in the city that would be a much faster process. So that right. I think that's interesting. And then "I'll kill a no filla" is two British ladies with filthy mouths who talk exclusively about serial killers. But
they Australian?
No, they're British. I think one of them's Welsh and one of them's English. Anyway, they have fabulous accents and they're both stand-up comedians, which seems like an unexpected combination. So they make talking about serial killers interesting, but also their banter is pretty damn entertaining.
Nice. I have a couple. If you're more interested in the ghosty side, there's Ghosted by Roz Dress for Les. And Roz Dress for Les is a drag queen and has the best name I've ever heard for a drag queen.
Mm-hmm.
And she's really funny, and they do, she takes listener stories, and then they do this segment, and then she usually has a guest, and the guest maybe has a story, or they talk about stories. And they do this segment called EVPs or EV Please, and they play like a EVP, which is, if you don't know, it's like a recording of a ghost voice, hypothetically. And the guest has to guess what the ghost is saying. Like, it's a multiple choice thing. And, you know, whoever has recorded the EVP has the authority to say what the ghost has said. So I think that's really funny.
That's definitely, I like that it's kind of gamified.
Yeah. And then the podcast from that kind of is a offshoot of the Snap Judgment podcast. It's called Spooked. And there's, I think they're on their fifth season now. And it's just all ghost stories. And it's told from the experiencer's perspective, and I think it's really great. There was this one, the last episode I listened to scared the crud out of me. I don't know why I censored myself there, but I was like, oh, maybe I shouldn't listen to this podcast while I'm delivering pizzas, because I definitely did not want to go up to somebody's house after listening to that.
Yeah. I bet.
And then there's two local podcasts that if you are here for the St. Louis-y stuff, or if you, like a lot of our listeners say that they like this podcast because it sounds like two friends talking, I think these two both hit those marks. One is called Death by Champagne, and it's two friends who talk about murder and they drink while they do it, and so sometimes it can get a little silly. I haven't listened to too many episodes of this just because they do mostly true crime, and that, you know, I can only take so much true crime in my life. But they are from St. Louis, and they're really funny. And then Slap City Podcast has nothing to do with our subject matter, but it's two stand-up comedians from St. Louis talking to each other about stuff. And it can get, if you're more of a sensitive type person, I probably wouldn't recommend Slap City because they can get really blue and kind of gross sometimes, but I think they're hilarious, so check that out.
It sounds good to me.
Heidi approved. And next we just wanted to share with you what we think that we'll be working on after this, if you so care about that. Heidi, do you want to talk about what's going on in your life?
Well, so my two primary goals are, one, make this fucking pandemic end. So,
Wear your mask.
I don't have a solid game plan for that. I think there's smarter people than me working on it. And so my role is to wear a mask, praise and encourage positive reinforcement, those who are doing the same, do my very best not to go to jail for assaulting people who refuse to follow simple instructions. Or, like, my husband even said yesterday, he yelled at somebody at the grocery store because they weren't wearing their mask. And he's like Mr. Chill. He yells at no one. He's very large, and he's well aware that a giant 6'8" man is intimidating. And so he tries not to project the "I'm a scary person" vibe, but this person kept encroaching on him in line at the store and wasn't wearing their mask properly. And he finally turned around and was like, "If you're not going to maintain a 6-foot distance, you need to pull up your fucking mask." And I was like, whoa, like, even Mr. Chill, and he's a shy introvert, so he definitely doesn't ever want to talk to strangers.
Right.
Like, it's got to be some kind of an emergency. And I said, so what did they say? He's like, he just pulled up his mask and, like, looked down at his cart. And I thought, that's, yeah, I mean, most people would probably think you could whip their ass. They don't know that he's, like, the world's biggest teddy bear, you know. Mm-hmm. And I have personally had to resist the urge to kick people in public on numerous occasions. And have absolutely, without shame or remorse or any sort of regret, mom shamed the crap out of a good handful of people who were not observing the mask order. So, primary goal is stay out of jail. Don't get sick. I'm teaching my class this semester with a friend of mine is co-teaching with me because we have to do it all online, and it's kind of complicated and is, like, the world's biggest time suck in terms of preparation. It's pretty much all I'm doing when I'm not working, and then I'm working all the time when I'm not doing that. And I've also taken up bird watching since I sit by the window, and I don't know if you noticed or not, but I hung a bird feeder on our fence. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was on the window, but that proved to be an error on my part because Fiona, her hunter instinct has not been domesticated out of her by any means at all. And she lost her mind when the birds came to the window. So I had to remove it. And now it's where I can see it, but I don't think that she's going to try and pull a Spider-Man on the window to get to the birds. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of blue jays, cardinals, and I also correctly identified that there are some house finches hanging out over by your tomato plants. Mm-hmm. So that's been kind of fun. I have this big book of North American birds. The only thing that sucks about it is that you have to know what bird you want information about before you look in the book. It's basically just a big dictionary. So,
right.
Unexpected hobby. And as everyone else is doing in quarantine, I've like doubled down on my house plants. That's kind of like, I asked my students the first night of class, so has anyone taken up any new hobbies now that people are spending more time at home? And more than 50% of the class, who come from very diverse backgrounds, said, oh, I started collecting houseplants. And then nice. I asked my pals on Twitter, is this just a thing for people in our industry, or is this just a result of COVID? And apparently everyone's doing it. So if you don't have a houseplant, you're behind, and you should get one. Mm.
I have a couple.
Oh, and I fell in the yard a couple weeks ago and thought that I wasn't injured, but I was wrong. So now I have a cement shoe in the shape of a boot that I have to wear for the next month. So make that not be broken anymore.
Yeah.
And hopefully when I go to the orthopedist, they'll be like, that looks awesome.
Good job.
Yeah, good work. But I think, I mean, I've got a lot of professional work things on my plate right now, but as far as hobbies and those sorts of things, I don't, other than trying to identify the differences between the half dozen blue jays that swing by for breakfast every morning so I can name them, I the bar is kind of low.
Well, I am, like I said earlier, working two jobs right now and going to school to become a medical laboratory technician, which will be very exciting to get out of theater. That's a whole nother podcast, though. And I'm hoping to start another podcast just on my own eventually, sort of like a self-helpy type of podcast, but with a sense of humor. And I will definitely be, you know, once that's up and running, I'll be shouting it out on the social media if anyone is interested. And yeah, also trying to get over the pandemic. And various injuries, but, you know, everybody just be cool and wear your mask and wash your hands and stop going to nightclubs.
Yeah, seriously, it's just dumb.
Mm-hmm.
Like, sincerely, it just, there's no way to say it any nicer than that. It's just dumb and a bad idea.
Did you hear Penny? Penny's mm-hmm. here.
She's says, counting.
It's time for dinner.
She's counting all her toes.
Yeah. So, and we also wanted to let you guys know that the episodes will still be listenable for the foreseeable future. Eventually, I guess they'll go away, but I don't know when that will be. But they'll be up. Don't worry about it. If you still want to go back and listen to old episodes. And also, I'm going to keep all the social media active for the foreseeable future as well. So if you still want to connect with us, you can, you can connect with us on the social media. I'll rattle off all those at the end if you are interested. We want to hear, like, if you have a favorite episode and stuff too. That would be really nice. Because this is like, even though I made the decision that I wanted to stop, I'm still really sad about it. And I'm definitely going to go through a grieving process. So I think nice words from our fans would definitely help. And I'll definitely share them with Heidi as well.
Yeah, I'm definitely, I think, like I said, I was a little surprised by the decision, but as always, with all my friends, I fully support people doing whatever it is that they want to do in life to be happy humans. I think that's just a good policy in general. And I think, I will miss it, but my love of creepy things has not diminished at all. And I still love to do research and I still love to talk about the topic. So if you would like to engage and chit chat about it, I know I've been not the best social media person on that front, but I'm more than happy to up my game so we can carry on the conversation. And I'm always interested to hear new stories. My husband just picked up a 5-DVD set of FBI crime stories for me at the library. Thank
Nice.
you. Thank you for being a good husband. And I still go to sleep every night to the soothing sounds of true crime. It's the balm that soothes me. My interest in the topic has not waned, and I'd still love to chat about it. And I think above and beyond all things, I'm just incredibly grateful that we have had so many people listen and engage and spend time with us and take the time to, share stories. We've had lots of guests, which I know Rissa's gonna read a list of some of our guests and contributors, story contributors, and friends who've been really supportive, including pets like Jupiter and Esme, who are also faithful listeners. And I looked and saw that we were at nearly 50,000 downloads, which just completely blew my mind. I thought we were at like 9. So that was really unexpected. Apparently, it's been a minute since I last looked at that. And most of our listeners are in the US, UK, and Australia, which, English-speaking countries kind of makes sense. But I just can't express enough gratitude. When we started, we thought it might just be us and Rissa's parents and maybe a couple friends listening. And now we have several hundred listeners who download every single week, and we have no paid sponsorship or advertising. It's just all been organic growth, and that is not possible without an audience, That's you, not us. And I'm grateful to have had the experience to do a project like this. It's totally different than anything I've ever done. It actually carved out an opportunity for me when I was working a job because they knew I had podcasting experience. They asked me to do explainer videos for their customers where I would do voiceover work to explain how to use particular products. And so that was pretty cool, that I was able to take that into my professional life, and it was something I couldn't have done otherwise. And it's just been an interesting journey learning about it. I've been a podcast listener for quite a long time, but had never really thought about doing a podcast until Rissa presented the idea.
Yeah, I want to echo everything that you just said and say that it's been extremely awesome to have done this with you and to have people reach out to us that we don't know personally to tell us that they like us. That's really extremely appreciated and really meaningful. That was something I never really imagined would happen. We had a listener want to get a tattoo. I'm sort of like, maybe, hopefully he didn't get it, or like, hopefully it's still okay. But like, that was so awesome. And yeah, I also think that it's great that you guys have all listened, and thank you so much for that. Like, that we wouldn't be here without you. And I wanted to say, Heidi, that I didn't know that you had that little professional link to the podcasting experience. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I had, I've been teaching and writing instructions of everything from, you know, complete user manuals for software to, you know, one page instructions for how to use things is a piece of my job for 20 something years. But now explainer videos are a whole new different kind of genre of that world. So I'm still writing it all out, but it's in more of a script form. And I mean, everyone's watched a tutorial video, but doing these explainer videos is the business version of it. And it was just kind of an unexpected benefit and something that was really enjoyable to do at work. And I loved hearing feedback from clients who said how helpful it was.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, I guess I just want to wrap up by saying thank you to very specific people, such as our friends who were guests on the podcast, like Bree. I think Bree's episode may be one of our highest or most listened to episode, at least. Emma, who was my former roommate, came on. Emily, thank you guys so much. Lucas shared his awesome story on our Halloween episode. Teresa, my friend who is a medium, has mediumship abilities. And of course, Pammy, your mother.
My mama.
And Dawn, who shared that incredible chimp story with us that we talked about earlier.
Yep, and her husband, Doc, or AKA his government name's Andrew.
Mm-hmm. And your friend Ryan, who helped us with the crime scene cleaner episode.
Yes, the ex-boyfriend who hilariously I had no idea was a crime scene cleaner the entire time we dated. I found out like 2 years later because we still have a few mutual friends. I don't know how that never came up, but it seems like, given my interest in all things creepy, I don't know, maybe I wasn't listening. I have no idea. But it was entertaining to me that, you know, we didn't date a super long time, but I don't know, maybe 3 or 4 months, something like that. Long enough that you would think that would have, it's kind of an unusual job. You would have thought that would have popped up at some point or another. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, thank you, friends who have been on. And if we're forgetting anybody, I'm really sorry. It's been 2 years and we're in the pandemic. But we really appreciate you guys coming on and giving us your stories. Also, we wanted to shout out Lynn Adams, who was on our Mermaid House episode. Thank you for being interviewed and sharing the Mermaid House story.
And please go see the Mermaid House. I suspect that they're doing it by appointment only. It's in Carlisle, Illinois. So if you are anywhere in the vicinity of, say, the Scott Air Force Base, you're close enough to go visit. Len is a total character. He does ghost tours with, what's that guy's name? Is it Troy?
Oh, Troy Taylor, yeah.
Yeah, Troy Taylor. So he was raised up by the famous haunted Troy Taylor. And he also happens to be the father-in-law of a really good longtime friend of mine, Courtney, who is also a total character. So no surprise there. But it is a guaranteed good time. I don't even believe in ghosts, and I had a blast. Mm-hmm. So,
and also want to thank Braden Henze for doing our intro and outro music. It was really rad, and thanks for the like technical support that you've given me in the past. That was super helpful.
And intro and outro music with, and so spoiler, the whispery stuff at the end, if you didn't know, we can reveal the secret now. I think it says, it's backwards, and it says, rate, review, and subscribe, give us 5 stars, something like that. And that was not our doing. That was his doing.
That was all Brayden's creativity. And he has a podcast on YouTube. You should just search his name on YouTube, Brayden Henze, and check that out. It's, I think his podcast is called Brayden in a Car with Too Much Coffee. So,
which I would still love to be a guest on his show if the invitation stands. I have no idea what I'm bringing to the party. I just want to participate.
same. So, and also we wanted to shout out our favorite pet listeners.
Yes. Well, I mentioned Jupiter and Esme. So Jupiter is a majestic, beautiful lady German Shepherd. And Esme is a gorgeous white with brown patches, pity, and Beyonce thighs. She's amazing.
And Sir Wadsworth, our friend Emily, is delightful Himalayan cat. Siamese, not Himalayan. I get those mixed up sometimes, but he's a Siamese kitty who reads Shakespeare on YouTube. You should check him out. His Instagram is Sir Wadsworth STL. And Nemo. Hi, Nemo. Bree's dog. I think Bree's parents' dog, actually. And he likes to listen and look for us when we say, hi, Nemo. Hi, Nemo. I was also going to thank Penny and Paco because they're frequent contributors to this podcast, whether we like it or not. And
Evie for occasionally barking super loud, even when we are in your basement.
Yeah.
And our neighbor's dog for his contributions on a couple episodes. And then we have neighbor on the other side that I've tried to create an invisible wall to ignore. But I think I finally got myself in a place in the house where, like, I can't hear him. So I'm not being, it's not nails on a chalkboard all day, which is nice.
Yeah. Well, I think the last thing I wanted to say is thank you, Heidi, for doing this with me. It's been a really fun adventure, and I will be sad to see it go. And I'm sorry for shocking you, surprising you with this, but I'm looking forward to our friendship remaining strong after this, and of course, we're next door neighbors, so...
I was going to say, you're like a whole 20 feet away. It's going to be pretty hard for either of us to ghost.
Yeah, so.
I think that would
not
be.
Not that we want to, right?
No, not that. I'm not implying that that's desired. I'm just saying, even if we hated each other's guts, it would be super hard to not interact.
You'd have to build another wall.
I mean, and I have double the amount of space between that neighbor, and I can't ignore him. So I think the chances of me ignoring you are pretty slim. Mm-hmm. Plus, you'll have to text me at least twice a week to tell me my cat escaped and is harassing your pets in the window and being an asshole.
That's so true.
There's that. I did get her a reflective collar, so she's easier to find in the dark. Mm-hmm. If anyone has any really good tips for how to keep an indoor cat indoor where they flip and belong, that would be awesome. I have a ninja cat. I asked my vet and she said a lunch bag to the face works really good at my house. Because I was like, she tends to take advantage of when I have full arms. So, like, I'm trying to carry shit out the door. Yeah. So, like, I don't have... And now I have a gigantic boot on my foot. So, sorry for the upcoming uptick in escapes. But... and then I can't chase her, you know? Mm-hmm. But she tends to do it either when I'm letting the dogs out. She'll slip past with the dogs because... Like, they have the slowest roll going out the door. And so she'll hide somewhere where I can't see her and then slip out with them. or she waits till I'm leaving or have to go outside to retrieve a package or something, and I have an armload of stuff and no extra hands, and I have to step down out of my front door, so I can't, like, just, you know, use a foot to shove her out of the way, because then I will also fall on my ass, which I do enough already, frankly. I'm trying to keep that to a minimum. My, right. You know, I'm running out of legs for repair.
Mm-hmm. Well,
but yeah, ditto all the stuff that you said for sure. And I will certainly absolutely miss our listeners. And I just can't say how much I really have appreciated getting to know you all and appreciate all the emails and stories and just that you have gone on this wacky ride with us.
Mm-hmm. And if you still want to interact with us, you can follow us on Twitter at Creepy Club Pod. I almost said Creepy Club Podcast. It's just Creepy Club Pod on Twitter. You can email us at creepyclubpodcast@gmail.com. You can follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/creepyclubpodcast. You can follow us on Instagram at Creepy Club Podcast. And if you want to keep up with me and what I'm doing, you can go to Instagram and follow me at RisBoombah, RisBoombah. And I assume you can still follow Heidi at Creepy Club Heidi. Yeah.
You absolutely can. And I will definitely be redirecting all creepy content to Instagram. So
Yeah, definitely follow Heidi. If you want to talk true crime and creepy stuff.
Yeah, I love and appreciate our ghosty fans, like, 1,000%. I'm just not as knowledgeable in that area. And I definitely land on the skeptical side. So if me poking holes is annoying, I might not be the best person to contact for those stories. However... I love and appreciate your point of view. Not saying that. I think you're fantastic. But yeah, I will all new creepy things. I didn't understand the whole message system on Instagram for some reason. I don't find it to be the most intuitive app for whatever reason. But I've got that hammered out now. So... now I know, now I fully understand the whole direct message thing there.
Yeah.
We'll which still is have kind of hilarious since I work in.
I think we're on a big lag again, but, we'll still have our meeting minutes up at creepyclubpodcast.com, and we'll still be on iTunes. So you could still rate, review, and subscribe to us if you want. That would be cool. We'd appreciate that. But thanks, everybody, so much for listening. We hope that you have enjoyed the ride with us. And we're sorry to see you go. But hopefully onwards and upwards for both of us. Thank you so much. Meeting adjourned.
See ya.